Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae has put hundreds of millions back into the hands of Mississippi citizens, expanding the state's affordable college and career savings program and also returning record amounts of unclaimed money. Check out how Treasurer David McRae's office can help you, your business, or your organization. Treasury.ms.gov.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome in. This is the Garden Mama Show. I thank you very, very much for being here. As usual, Trey has sent us a laugh already this morning. If you've planted catnip and been insulted or assaulted by all the cats in your neighborhood, you can imagine the meme that he has sent today. But it will be visible shortly at supertalk.tv. Thank you so much, Trey. Appreciate that. A couple of good questions already coming in today on the text line, which, of course, is open to you anytime I'm here, as is what we're just friendly around here calling the Garden Mama phone line, 888-808-8637. Thank you, Super Talk. 601-879-4395 is the text line for us here. And, of course, we appreciate that very, very much. Now, I don't know how to tell you this, Lance. Other than I should probably say hello, but I have today is in fact Twinkie Day.
Yes, I'm aware.
So I had brought the wrong. I didn't have any 40-year-old Twinkies for you.
No, but you did bring the survival kit, which apparently we're going to need.
You're not going to be able to see the eclipse, so you may as well enjoy the festivities.
Everything may get bought up. We'll be dealing with shortages and traffic and
all of that.
Well, at least wherever they were projecting,
where they can actually see it.
Yeah, it was. That's been a kind of a. It's been a buildup. You know, I did the one in Memphis about 5 years ago. Went up to the rooftop, friends, you know, had a blast. It was not that big of a deal. I mean, they handed out the glasses. We had some drinks. Yeah. Wonderful time.
Yeah.
You know, went and ate afterwards.
This one's going to be bigger.
But it was still just the moon and the sun thing. And I just don't understand why this one's so much. And it was actually in the same kind of belt where it was Memphis North. Into Ohio and all that was where the band
was. Well, the hoopla is because
it's not
going to happen at this close a distance for most of your lifetime.
Yeah.
Certainly all the rest of mine, it won't happen.
I just don't remember there being as much pomp and circumstance
ascribed
to it. Well,
that's why. Because this particular one is the last one for a while. It's closer because the moon is closer to us at this point, and the geometry of it all.
It's going to be better.
But the place to be is going to be in that plane. It's going to dip the wings and do all that and let you see what's going on.
They have the tickets for that.
They're sold.
Yeah, but they did. Somebody has plenty of money for that.
Somebody got those.
But we did come up with an invention that if somebody wants to try it on Twinkie Day, Gallo, actually, I don't want to take any credit for this because it's his genius that pulled this off. But we were having a good time talking about Saturday's day and, you know, what it's the designation, which is Twinkie Day. And he goes, man, wouldn't it be good? Because, you know, you and I were just talking about maybe getting a syringe, filling it up with some Crown Royal, and injecting it into a Twinkie. So if anybody tries that today,
y'all let us know.
Yeah, we'll get you a Garden Mama t-shirt.
That's right. Yeah. I don't think I want to talk to you while you're doing it, but let me know later.
But still, goodness.
Good grief. That's funny.
And it's a Saturday, so you don't have to go anywhere.
Trust me.
Right.
There's enough sports and basketball between golf and baseball and one thing and another.
And everything blooming.
But the best news is that everywhere you go today, there's a plant sale. I'm going to be at one.
And if you're not
I'm
buying
be at two,
them,
actually,
your plants are blooming up, looking good. I know the conditions have been great. This year, learning from you a lot about maintenance of your roses. I'm on such a great schedule this year with them. I mean, the blooms are
Everybody's
so strong.
Yeah.
I did a better job of pruning last year and learning how to fertilize right and do that. And this year, I wanted to tell you, I have about three times the volume and then the size is much larger, too.
Wonderful.
And so I wanted to commend you on your skills, because it just following kind of some basics there and taking care of them. Man, they look so good.
Well, and, you know, that's the thing. Gardening's not usually real difficult, but it is a smart thing. And if we're smart, the plants are so happy about it, they reward us with much better performance.
Yeah, I mean,
we just give them the minimum most of the time. Some things take a whole lot more work than others, but in the case of rose bushes, we can do that. Now, bringing up roses, by the way, and I don't know your name, so I will call you Susan in Starkville. She sent a beautiful picture of black spot on roses, and she is using a product, the all-in-one. It's probably from Bayer, which should take care of the problem. Here's the deal, though. Black spot on roses is not uncommon in a lot of varieties. Some varieties don't get it at all. Some varieties get decimated by it even if they're treated. Yours, this particular one, looks like it's in between. It looks to me like you're controlling it. So here's what you need to understand. After that climbing rose blooms is the time to prune it a little bit. And part of what you may want to do is thin out some of those older canes, because good air circulation around the plant, or within the plant itself, I should say, is actually a very good indicator of better health. There'll be less chances for the fungus to spread and more opportunities for the rose itself to just grow. Beyond that, of course, if you find that the products that you're using at any time, because the 3-in-1 should have a fungicide, an insecticide, and a fertilizer in it, if you are using one of those things and it's not suiting you, it's not taking care of the problem, then in between, of course, you can come in with another fungicide. Do remember, however, that fungicide, whether it's the one in the product you're using or whether it's another one that you would apply separately, do not stop they don't end the fungus, they just stop it, they arrest it. Okay, so give yourself the opportunity to enjoy that particular point of view and figure that the flowers look awfully nice anyway. That's always a good thing. I'm not sure if there's anything else to be done other than the pruning, as I say. And if you have lots of canes, you're going to want to take the older canes out. But you certainly can redirect some of the growth, maybe expand the space between the canes with your trellis. A lot of things to be done with a climbing rose. But it's a beautiful flower. Y'all know I love, love, love yellow flowers, yellow, particularly roses. Really lovely. Another good question. I ordered garlic last summer, and here it is. That is, in fact, your garlic. And she's trying, because onions, you know, onions do look a good bit alike one another. But I don't think that you've matured yet. What will happen is that the leaves on top of the ground will begin to yellow. It does look like you probably didn't plant them quite deep enough. And because all onions kind of look alike anyway, even when the foliage yellows on top, you may find that you have something else down there. But I believe you're going to – I think if it was actually a leek, you would be seeing a different – it would look a little different from this, if I'm right. Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm not. But I think it's just got to have – we usually look for garlic to mature around May sometime when the weather gets pretty hot. It'll turn brown. The leaves at the top will start yellowing and browning a little bit. And then you know. Okay, now we got the Twinkie recipes.
And I'm proud to say that it just add the fry to it, and
of course,
obviously that's going
to
make it better.
You have to do that.
Why don't we just, while we're at it, dip it in chocolate and then fry it?
Well, I was going to ask you, how do we get the chocolate bacon in here?
You do know that Twinkie was originally a banana cream pastry.
It probably was.
World War II, bananas were rationed in a shortage, so they went to the vanilla cream. And once World War II was over, I think the people said, no, let's stick with this vanilla cream stuff, even though bananas were back. People liked the vanilla cream better.
Yeah.
So that's
how
they did an anniversary throwback banana cream once or twice, I believe, for the pre-war days. But yeah, banana cream.
I've never eaten a Twinkie.
What?
I have never eaten a Twinkie.
Lordy. Come on.
Don't intend to.
We can talk about
chocolate Hostess cupcakes. You know, if it's chocolate, I'm probably not going to be able to pass it up forever. But for some reason, the Twinkies were withheld from me for some reason, and I just never got there. I don't know. Funny stuff. I do appreciate them. I appreciate all the lore around them. I appreciate that you can, you know, give somebody when they're born a box of Twinkies, and when they graduate college, they'll still be in the same condition in the closet. I'm not talking bad about Twinkies. I'm telling you all the truth. Oh, Paula, this is nice. She sent us pictures, and y'all are going to love this. This is the repotting of the peace lilies. And, yes, they really were root-bound, but they look beautiful. Oh, now I'm inspired, Paula. Thank you. I got to do that soon, but not today. Today I'll be doing a couple of things. We'll talk more about them in the next hour because Peaches will be here. But today is the big road trip day. Going out to Pearl right after the show and then going up to Carthage. So right now at supertalk.tv, you're getting to see the picture that I posted in my social medias of two different colors of Tradescantia, that is spiderwort, that are very dark, dark pink and dark blue, blooming next to each other. And people said I had messed with them. I did not filter those. That's the colors that those flowers actually are. And it doesn't last very long, but it's fun. There's also pictures of my newest tomato pots and the first flower on the other tomato. Not the one that I just planted, but the one that I planted a few weeks ago. I have that hair there so you will see that indeed, if you're able to keep them covered when you need to, tomatoes can keep going in containers. The soil in the ground would have been too cool. But it's a big old black pot so that every time the sun does shine, it has lots and lots of solar energy warming up that soil, and it's done very well. Buckeye pictures and a shrub that I want to discuss with you today as well. I'll make a note of that. There's people that need to prune some stuff. We're going to talk about that. Okay. This is really pretty, Rhonda. I wonder how this is going to make a lot of peace lilies. Going to make a lot. I think you got a buckeye. That's beautiful, Rhonda. That's beautiful. Really, really lovely. It's my favorite native plant, actually, because it's in bloom at my house right now. But the buckeyes are, it's Aeschylus, and usually it's Pavia, which is what this one looks like, a shrub or sometimes a small tree, in this case, 12, 15 feet at my house. This one is not quite as large as that, but it's on its way. And they have lots of flowers, big red flowers, big hummingbird magnets, just a beautiful plant. Really, really lovely. Now, let's see. Oh, Bill, that's wonderful. Best crop of plums in a decade. Should I spray them now or is it too late? Well, Bill, I'd be stoked too. I think that's great. I want you to look at the label of what particular product you use to spray your plums, and it will tell you whether or not when to spray what. If you know that you've had curculios before, I trust that you made one spray sooner. But just whatever the product is that you like to use will tell you when to use it. There also are, of course, schedules and whatnot based on your tree and your zone at MSUCares.com. You can find all of that. Oh, my goodness. Here you go. Twinkies, rum, and strawberries, Lance. Don't forget the whipped cream. Thank you, Paula.
I mean, thank you. This is the kind of participation I'm looking for.
He's going to have a cookbook next year.
I'm telling you, there's going to be the Garden Mama Twinkie fried / sauteed, however you can come up with
it. The double fried business is almost more than I can imagine.
Double bourbon infused fried. I mean, come on, man.
How did y'all not get on Food Faces? Today's also Food Faces Day. You know, where you look at something and it looks like a smile or it looks like something else.
Yeah. That's the moon pies,
you know?
So that kind of looks like
you
the
have
moon.
That. You have smiling moon pies. Oh, my goodness. Funny stuff. I asked them the other day up here if anybody was picking South Carolina over Iowa in the women's final. Everybody went, no.
Nah, it's kind of hard to go against Caitlin Clark.
It's kind of hard to go against Caitlin Clark, and I'm an Angel Reese fan from when she was born, you know. She's been great forever. But it's very hard to go against Caitlin.
Well, and, you know, they had the – I hate to say it, but the timing of the article – regarding the coach
Oh.
Which was a nothing burger. It was billed by one.
That's true.
The journalist who did the work on it did a great job and wrote a great article, and it was very informative.
But
the promotional activity by another journalist sensationalized it to be some big, you know, bomb going off, some bombshell, and it was a nothing burger. I mean, if you've ever played sports at a higher level than buddy ball, this is how it kind of works. So I found it to be badly timed in a hope that it would affect the performance of her team. And I think if you take that back, maybe they play a little better, but, you know,
It's not a real issue.
You know, with LSU, and then you've got in Iowa with this great story, and South Carolina is great.
Yes.
You know, there's so many good, but you would think that you would just let them play ball. You wouldn't throw this kind of junk out there in the middle of a tournament, because there's some great games being played, and you don't really need that stuff.
And you don't.
Yeah.
And it's all about.
Let the girls play, man.
Of course, what Caitlin said after it was all said and done, of course, is that we will be. We'll have great careers in the WNBA. We look forward to playing
on the same team.
Exactly, whatever, you know. So
that's the way these girls are a lot more, and guys that do it at the college level are a lot more professional minded.
Okay, I'm going to have one more sports not Hortz thing. Did you see Angel Reese's announcement of her going on to the WNBA in Vogue?
I didn't see where, but I did see
it's in Vogue, and she's absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, nice.
I mean, we knew that, but the point is that to pick a platform like that, well, come on, that's not exactly the sporting news.
It's not, and today that's the way it kind
perfect.
Of is.
It's perfect,
perfect because they have been given a platform that has never been at the It really in the palm of the athlete, I think, and seeing the freedom that they've had to market themselves or have fun with it. It's the athlete now. You have more power to and it's good.
It's a
pendulum. Things will swing back at some point to some super conference or some kind of guardrails.
Well, sure,
but for
I'm
now,
sure
enjoy
true,
it.
Yeah, I was going to say, but right now you would like to have that 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
That's going to exist.
You want to be in that, right? You want to be Angel Reese
in the middle of
Olivia
all of that,
Dunn in the middle of this.
Exactly. Exactly.
It probably won't last forever, but have fun with it.
Exactly. And in fact, there's been so much work such a long time to build everything that amounts to female participation in sports to a level where it is now that we're all celebrating.
Those
of us who busted our knees on the basketball court.
Played baseball at a time when it was not heavily attended outside of several big programs like Mississippi State, LSU. You see the growth in the sport. You see it in the women's sports as well. You saw the viewership of this tournament, and it's amazing, and it's great, and it's rewarding for them, and it should be.
Yep. It's a spotlight they didn't expect. Mm-hmm. So is this, as a matter of fact, because this is the Garden Mama Show.
Knowing they're happy and they're safe. We would be so happy, you and me. No one there to tell us what to do. I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you.
If someone you know is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
If you are building a new home or remodeling an older home, Amazing Propane is for you. A propane tankless water heater, a propane generator, a propane gas grill and oven, propane fireplaces, even lighting. Propane, such a versatile, clean, cost-effective source of energy for any home. Propane, clean American energy. Visit mspropane.com to learn more.
On the battlefield, there.
Bus stop away.
wet day she's there, I say, please share my umbrella. Bus stop, bus go, she stays, love grows under my umbrella. All that summer we enjoyed it, wind and rain and shine. That umbrella we employed it, by August she was mine.
It's going to be a week for umbrellas.
That's what I heard.
Yep. I will be making a trip to Meridian on Tuesday. Can't wait to see y'all. Hey, Lisa. I'm going to talk to the XYZ Club. That's going to be fun.
Spoonful of rum on the Twinkies just to add a little kick. You got strawberries mixed
we've
in.
We've got all kind of stuff going on.
Y'all
here.
Do. I'm going to share these with Gallo Monday
morning. That's right. Y'all
because,
will be drunk by 9 o'clock in the morning.
He's going to love this stuff. Goodness. Thank y'all so much.
We this love this cross great. Promotion stuff.
Yeah. You know? No, this is wonderful, man. I mean, and then today's the day. So, everybody was not awake yet yesterday
exactly.
when we mentioned it.
Exactly.
Now they're awake and
the
it's
day.
Saturday.
That's right. Had I paid any attention to this, I certainly would have considered the solar eclipse to be a point where you could actually do this. Those things certainly have. I mean, they brought everything else to the fore.
Well, this is a solar eclipse of the heart. So thank you. You guys are definitely playing on my emotions. I'm going to stop by Kroger today.
Thank you,
get
Paula.
Twinkies if there's any left.
And then there'll be pictures.
Strawberries. Go by the liquor store. Get some whipped cream.
This is a really great photograph of tomato seedlings the way they're supposed to look. And they're not mine, of course. This is really great. Kathy has replanted her tomatoes last Saturday because the soil had gnats from too much top watering. She didn't have any way to water from the bottom. Y'all may remember that. Now, she's got about a half inch of water in the bottom of them, but the soil on the top is dry, so she wants to know if she should add water on top. I would touch the soil, and if it feels dry, I'd actually use a mister just to get down so you're not wetting the foliage. Because you're getting water, obviously, these plants are beautiful. They're obviously getting the water that they need from the below. So I would mist the top of the soil. I do that, and it's one of those things where once you've had gnats, you always worry that you're going to have them again. And keeping that soil too wet is what causes that. Still, you don't want the soil surface to dry out because then it's not as efficient. So give them a little bit of a moist mist and let that be the way that works. If for some reason they don't seem to be able to take up enough water from the bottom, of course you can lift them up from the water that they're in and water them so that the water goes through and flows out the bottom and then put them back where they were. They look really great, though. Whatever you're doing is working. Thank you, Kathy. Very well done. Very, very well done. That's neat. I'm growing nasturtiums. I don't know if anybody else likes nasturtiums the way I do. I'm growing them, and they've actually done better this time around than they usually do. I think it's because I soak them for about an hour in warm water. Usually I just put them in some water, and then when I think about it, I go plant them. And they do okay. I'm good at nasturtiums. But this time, I think it was a cool day or something when I was doing this. So I put them in warm water and really let them soak well for maybe an hour or 2 hours probably. The warm water seems to have done better. I have a higher germination rate than I did with the others. Really and truly, that's all about how containers can reward us. I'm already talking to you about the tomato pots because the soil gets warmer. The pots are huge and black and have squash and tomatoes in them. We're going to see. We don't know if I can grow squash, but we're going to see. Cross your fingers? No, I don't think so. Anyway, but by gaining control over those soil conditions and one thing and another, I really do think it helps us a bunch. And having, of course, the ability to then drag the pot somewhere else if you need to, if there's not enough sun here or there's too much sun there, it gives you the opportunity to do that. I like a good mixed container, but I also like one container, one pot with a big plant in it. And so yesterday I transplanted my small bubblegum petunia. I do like bubblegum petunias. I know they're getting to be passe, but I still think they're pretty. And put that into one container, and I already have one of the Calabrocas in another one that's a purple and yellow surprise, purple and yellow flowers. But the pink bubblegum petunia is really one of the best flowers that I grow. I like it. It does well. It blooms all summer, and it's really fun to have. So I think that that's something you might want to consider getting, too. They're not as popular as they used to be, but if you go to a local garden center and ask for them, they probably have them, or they can get some. Either way, I wanted to talk about caladiums today because everybody's looking at them. Now, caladiums are a wonderful addition to a mixed container, all right? But if you have a spot in the shade, though, where you need some color, these are big heart-shaped leaves, and they are literally grown for the leaves. In fact, when the flowers appear, we cut those off as soon as possible because energy that goes into producing that flower doesn't produce more leaves. And the aroids, which is what the caladium is one of, have a real, their nourishment goes directly into producing that spathe. And I mean, it's nice, it's lovely, you might want to look at one, but you probably don't want to leave it that way because it will take away from your leaf production. And in fact, the whole point of caladiums is that we let them, they can take the water that we have in a well-drained bed, they'll take the rain, they'll take however you're watering the tree perhaps, any other kind of system like that. But along with impatiens, they're really a standard in the shade. And because they grow so well, it's a really wonderful plant. But I don't want you to overlook their sun cousins. And by that, I'm talking about the caladiums that have very pointy leaves and are narrow. They are much more sword-looking. And those actually are, in many cases, particularly if they have red leaves, it will tell you that they are tolerant of sun. I'm still not going to put them in the west side of a house, you know, in an open space with that kind of sun, because it simply will take too much water to keep them hydrated and full of leaves. But I'm not going to, even in the sunshine types, I'm not going to put them in that kind of sun. Sun patients are the same way. You know, we've had impatiens for a long time that are the shade standard, but these are really beautiful, beautiful plants that do well in more sun. I've grown them in the morning sun or maybe 3 or 4 hours in the afternoon for a very long time, and they've done beautifully. Let's see. Let's go to Oxford. Talk to Ed. Hi, Ed. What's going on?
Well, I'm doing good. Having fun.
Good, good.
Planted three azalea bushes about 40 years ago, about 10 feet from the house, and planted a magnolia tree about 20 feet from the house. Well, now at this point, the magnolia is over 40 foot tall. Two of the azaleas are getting absolutely no sun. The one that's on the outside is doing well. When can I transplant these? Because the two that are shaded aren't knee-high.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
With two blossoms on them, and that's about it.
That is kind of sad. I think the magnolia won in this case.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You can do that now. I wouldn't wait much longer. But now it's fine. You've still got, I mean, for example, if you happen to do it today, there's going to be rain this week that would make the transplant process a lot happier for the azalea. Because wherever you put it, it's going to suffer for a little bit trying to grow some new roots. Be sure you water it in either with a root stimulator or with my favorite, a compost tea, a vermicompost, particularly tea is a good way to stimulate roots. But I don't think you need to wait to do that any later. If you don't get it done this spring, wait until next fall. The summer is a terrible time to try and do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what I needed.
Have fun.
I'll tell my wife and she'll allow me to do it then.
Well, the permission structure in every home is a little different from day to day. So I look forward to seeing the pictures. Thank you, Ed.
Okay.
Bye for now. Oh, my goodness. That's really a good project, though. If you have something like that that has not grown, the other thing I wanted to say about shrubs is really very specific. If you have, as I do, shrubs that are green-leaved but the sticks are still sticking out of the top, go and do a little bit of a scratch test. If it's brown there, cut that part off. You don't need your plant trying to pump energy to a part of it that is dead. It takes away from the growth of the rest of it. And besides, that's the only way you're going to know what's actually going to be able to take off and make some more new growth is by taking off that old stuff. So do that. Mary's tomatoes are doing great. They really look nice. Pretty, pretty. She'd been busy. Woo! That's very nice. Corinne's in Jackson. What is a good repeat blooming red rose climber? I'll throw that out to y'all. What do y'all like? I have an idea, but I'm going to turn that out to y'all. A repeat red rose climber, okay? Send me your ideas. And, okay, what is a good living alternative ground cover to the vegetable containers, or is a small gravel or pebble covering good? She's tired of having to water the mulch. The pine bark mulch, stays too dry, too. And that can be. I use it, but I don't use but just a little scattering of it. That might be part of the problem, is it might be too thick. But a lot of people do grow with gravel as their mulch because they find that it will keep the humidity around the plants a little bit more moderated. It'll get wet, but then it'll dry faster than the surface of the soil does on a wet and humid, muggy day. And by the same token, it can hold water when the weather happens to be dry. Usually, if you've got perennial vegetables, you can certainly put in really any kind of little vining thing that you want to cover that surface, but I would do it from a seed. I wouldn't try to get a perennial plant going in there. You might try, it needs to be something that's not going to conflict too much also, because if you've got vegetables growing, you're going to have to feed more if you also have even a little ground cover, even an ajuga or a creeping Jenny or something like that. You would still have to fertilize it, but it's pretty and it wouldn't hurt to have it there. So I would not have any problem doing that. But I probably would go with the gravel if I felt like I needed to do something different. Particularly if it's annual vegetables, because they do come out so rapidly and you don't want to have to keep doing this over and over again. You could just scoop your pebbles out, wash them and put them in the next pot, as opposed to having to figure out what you're going to plant in the space where the other plants are growing. I hope that helps. Oh, let's see. This looks like it's a calancho. This is a story of love and romance. This is a plant given on a first date 2 years ago. And I think we're looking at a calancho, but I'm going to pull the picture up a little closer to me and take a look at it at the break.
I think it's the one you're referring to on the TV.
Because it's a succulent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like the succulent.
Yeah, because it's a succulent, I'm going to say, first of all, that it's not getting enough sun and the soil doesn't drain well enough. That's my first take. And then after that, I hate to tell you, you're probably going to take some cuttings to get it to bush out at the bottom. But if you were able to give it maybe a slightly looser soil and some water and fertilizer in a slightly better lit circumstance, I think you would see a plenty of growth at the bottom. Okay? It's a pretty plant. It does need to be saved. And you can do that. You absolutely can do that. I have really, really had a great week this week, and I hope y'all have too. I must confess that my blue jeans are dirty and my whatever remained of a manicure is long gone. But I got a lot of gardening done, and that's a good thing because next week does look a little bit iffy for that, at least for the middle of the week. We do put things on and do things, though, and one of those things is mulch. Part of the business of putting the mulch on the container plants is because when we get such deluges, they're predicting right now, good morning, Vicksburg, they're predicting 7 inches of rain along the river. That doesn't mean it's going to happen, but they're predicting that. So you do have to be prepared for it, because even if it's only four in 2 days is a lot of water, and it can wash both the soil out of your pots, it can wash the soil away from your plants that you've got in the ground, and it can also cause some problems in terms of dislocating the nutrients that you worked so hard to get to those plants. So it's something to be considered. I know that it's going to be It's never everywhere all at once. It's not that. It's not kind of like that movie. But on the other hand, we do have some pretty serious water coming in some parts of our listening area next week. So I want you all to be sure that you do use the mulch where you need to. But if you've got things, for example, like pots of succulents outside, pull them up under the porch or put them inside the garage. If it looks like you're going to get that heavy-duty rain, they don't need that. You don't need it either for them. Let it go everywhere else. Meanwhile, today is going to be a spectacularly beautiful day, and I'm looking forward to all of it. Stick around. This is the Garden Mama Show.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Did you know one of the best in-
Interesting question. Paula's Paula's plant that's on life support, a peat moss, rock, and dirt mixture work. Yeah, so if the rock is real small, like sandy rock or pebbly, not like rock rocks, but something a little bit. You don't have to go and get a bag of cactus mix, but if you could take your potting soil and mix it with a little bit of something to loosen it up just a little bit. If you're starting with peat moss, you certainly will need something like either a compost or a potting soil or a ground up bark, something that has a bigger particle than just the peat moss. But I like the idea of a mixture like that. I think that's smart. I love that. That's great. Let's see, when is a good time to plant tomatoes around the Batesville area? Now? Now, we are going to have a couple of cooler nights, but people are planting right now with the understanding that there will be a couple of cooler nights. If you want to wait until after that, that's not a problem. But if you're growing in a container, I suggest you go ahead and get going because you can take advantage of the solar energy that will heat up the container. On the other hand, if you have not prepared your soil yet for a garden bed, go ahead and get that done. By the time you get that done, it'll be time to plant. That's for true. Oh, this is really interesting. Trying to find the perennial hardy begonias. I have not had that plant. There are a couple of them that used to be real common around here, and I think we had maybe too much ice one or 2 years. I would say shop south. Somewhere from some Picayune or, you know, somewhere farther south than that, it'd probably be easier to find those. There are a lot of perennials that are available. They're not out on the front rack. And so if I don't know I don't know where you are, but if you're in the metro area, you will find perennials at the locally owned independent garden centers. You just have to get there and talk to them. That's one of the things we're doing at Floydeen's today, the event that I'm going to up at Carthage. That's another thing we're focusing on today is perennials, because that is something that people find it more difficult to get. So one of the growers up there has been working on that. And, of course, there's also a native plant guy going to be up there. I'm not saying you shouldn't come be with us, but I'm also saying you should shop your local nurseries. Get to know somebody. Go on a Tuesday instead of a Saturday morning, perhaps when there's less people to be waited upon, you know, to be assisted. And see if you can't figure out which one's got the plant you're looking for. If you want lists or you want suggestions about what goes with what, I'm happy to help with that. I like this. Two plums and two peaches in the February of 23. All right. Yeah, I bet you did water last summer. They all survived. What do I need to do now? And they're about 6 feet tall. Well, that's good. Really, all you need to do is fertilize them with a tree food at this stage. Flowering tree food would be even better because they are flowering trees. But if you have a general purpose fertilizer that you like to use for the other things that you grow, you don't need a specialty for fruit trees. On the other hand, if you're going to get something, go ahead and get a fruit tree fertilizer. Use that because they're well established now. You can feed them in the spring like this and then again in the summertime if you're trying to get them to grow. And as long as you keep up with the water, you'll have plenty of leaves and plenty of, therefore, flowers next year. That's really how they work, you know. Fruit trees grow this year, and then next year, all of that energy, they drop their leaves, take all the nutrients out of the leaves and put them back into the tree itself. And then when they begin to bloom in the springtime, it's because you're seeing the results of all of the nutrition you gave them the year before, as well as the sunlight, the water, all of those things. But the nutrition does make a big difference in fruit growing. I like it. Andrea says, oh, my goodness. Yeah, I think you've got my problem. Andrea says that she's got a seed problem. She keeps buying new seeds and she wants to know if there's a support group. I think you've met us. I think we're it. Yes. There's somebody will help you with all those seeds, I'm sure. It looks like a good collection too. I have to say some of those seed packs are very pretty. I noticed you have one up in there from Johnny's, some Burpees and some others from, I don't know who this one is, but it's a very attractive one. Is that Baker Creek? Anyway, very nice collection. Congratulations. They'll take good pictures and go give the seeds away. You're right. It is hard not to get more seeds. It's another thing I'm giving away today is more seeds. I have planted three kinds of little zinnias, so we're going to see whether or not those are going to make it this year. I don't know. We'll find out. But I'm also distributing. Did I bring those? I think I brought icicle eggplant. There's a couple of things that I'm going to try to get people to grow that are around here. What about all those peace lilies? Aren't those beautiful? Oh, my goodness. She's just done such a beautiful job with that. I love it. So much fun. I did not know, and I'm really glad that somebody told me, we've talked before about attempting to get better microscopes into more schools because it's not necessarily something that fits into the budget. But the Granger College of Engineering at University of Illinois has put forward they started out, of course, like all scientific studies do. They started out with an idea, and their idea was that we needed better microscopic resolution, but we actually needed better ways to get it without the hazards and the trials that go into that particular process. It's called aberration-corrected microscopes because that's what they have to do. The lenses are very specific. The better the lens is in a microscope, the less aberrations or the less stuff that's not really there or things you shouldn't see aren't there. You see the actual what you're looking at. Okay, so this is the revolution in microscopy, which all of us who have ever squinted into microscopes trying to draw something that we were supposed to be doing for a class, have tried very hard to get these things to be better to see, especially those of us who are extremely nearsighted. But since the 1800s, when they developed the compound light microscope, there really hadn't been that many different moves or different things to happen. So the good news is they got the technology better. The bad news is it's really expensive. So trying to figure this out, the current jump in the resolution, it comes from a term that we all need to know. It's electron tachography, which is PTY. That's right. Okay. That's how you pronounce that. Tachography. And that's what we're looking at. This is a method that uses computation instantly at the time of the viewing to boost the resolution of the microscope. This has all happened over the last 5 or 6 years. And what they have done now is to bring the expense down because they're bringing that technology into a lower cost microscope. If you've ever seen an array of old microscopes, they all weighed about 400 pounds. It felt like, and I realized that probably was important at the time because you had to have that stable surface and stable carriage for the lenses and whatnot. Well, now it's a little bit better, and we've gotten a much better situation. I think they've taken a conventional microscope and turned it into a better functioning tool. Now, what are we going to do about umbrellas that flip upside down? Well, we may get to find that out next week. Let's see. All right, now, I got to go open the gate because Peaches is here. Y'all stick around. We'll be back.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
Some days I cover up.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Oh, you're singing my song today, my friends. Deborah's in Madison. This is so pretty. Peaches is here. We're going to look at it and enjoy this is a chenille plant. I love chenille plant. I love things that droop and drape, but I really like this one because it always looks like earrings to me. It looks like you should be wearing them. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
Things good? Oh, good, yeah. Good, good. You know, this is really a wonderful thing. And she's got a couple of other really nice ones, too. I was talking to somebody yesterday that doesn't garden a whole lot about ferns. She was saying she wanted a fern. And where do you put it? They were out in front of the grocery store and they were gorgeous. You know, they're big old things. Well, I said, you need to not put it in full sun. And she said, so I can put it in the house. And I said, well, you can put it in the house if you have a bright window. And I thought to myself, no, don't do that. Put it on the porch. Just let me just tell you. And that's exactly where this one is, with the pretty, pretty things all around it. Really nice garden. Pretty pot, too. I appreciate that very, very much. Good questions this morning. boy, have we been busy. Running like crazy today because everybody's ready to be doing something.
Yeah, no pressure.
No pressure at all.
Yeah, I'm just hauling around all the garden mama's plants.
Well, you look at the fact that it's going to rain for 3 days next week. Everybody wants to do everything right now, and it may not even rain.
It may not.
Okay, we never know.
Yeah,
we never know. Thank you for coming in today. This is going to be fun. Where are we going? What are we doing?
Well,
today is National Twinkie Day, so we spent a good portion of the first hour discussing Twinkie recipes.
I can't imagine.
Which I now have. I've never had one, but now I'm going to have a Twinkie.
I have a great Twinkie recipe.
Is it soaked in rum?
No.
That's the way these are going today.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
But we're not doing that.
No.
We are, however, going to Pearl.
We're going to Pearl, to Doris Berry's Produce.
Such a great place.
Yeah, it's fun. It's right down the street from my house, of course, so I shop there a good bit.
I was going to say, so you just give them your money and they, put stuff in your truck.
Yeah, they do. I back right up.
Exactly.
They load it up for me.
Good looking place. Really nice folks.
It's fun.
We're going to be giving away a fancy basket.
Yes.
Holy moly, that thing's beautiful.
I've been hanging on to that basket for
trying really hard not to break into it because it's such good stuff.
It's in a room I don't use,
So if you have not gone and registered, come on and join us there this morning. We'll be there about 10:30 till around noon, and we'll give that away in the midst of all of that.
Yes.
It's going to be fun.
And then I'm real excited about the second leg of the tour.
I have the directions. It's like a whole page of directions. To Floyd Dean's Flower Farm. Now, this is in Carthage. It's outside of Carthage, actually. But the point is that they're having the Vaden to Walnut Grove Highway 35 garage sale up there. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. You'll probably be able to buy anything you're looking for up there.
Yeah.
So we're just a little tiny part of that. So we want you to come see us from 1 to 3 at Floyd Dean's.
Right.
Meanwhile, there'll be 82 places up and down that road, at least to buy whatever you're looking for. Last year they were actually selling, everything from clothing to plants to appliances to food to everything. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a garage sale.
I did a post this week about people I should know but I haven't met. Today's going to be one of those days.
Today's going to be one of those days.
Yes, ma'am.
It always is. It's a lot of fun to do. We're looking forward to it, y'all. Now, that's not to say that this is not all a whole bunch of business going on here in the Garden Mama Show. So let me tell you what's going on. Really good question from y'all in Clarksdale. Charlie and Brenda are building a new raised bed, and they want to talk about the soil to put in it. So I'm happy to send you my recipe for that if you want to send me an email, mamaonair@yahoo.com. But I will tell you that what I do is I realize that there are a lot of products that you can go buy in a bag now that say for container gardening, okay? That's still not going to be what I want you to use by itself.
Right.
And the main reason is drainage. Those things all have water-holding polymers in them, which are great in dry weather to help keep it from drying out.
Right.
But in a 2-inch-a-day rain thing, the whole business goes into soup in a hurry. So if you, in any kind of bag, I'm not saying you shouldn't use a container planting mix. That's fine. But add to it a soil conditioner or a ground-up bark or something in your own compost or leaf mold or something that's going to loosen it up a little
right.
bit.
It's like making gumbo.
It is. Yeah. It's not just one thing.
No.
There's
no way.
If I had a layered, how you used to see the ant mounds, ant farms, and they had the layers and you could see what all they did all up and down. If you could see what all is in my tomato containers right now, there's everything in there from old pots from soil to new pots of soil, to everything. Old and new, and by the time I got to the third one that I had to finish yesterday, I would have been disappointed in myself terribly. I thought, let me go see what's over here. There was some more pine bark, so that's what I put in there. When I do that, I put in a little lime because the pine bark tends to be more acid than most of the vegetables want. So,
I've been deconstructing a 10-year-old compost pile.
I love that.
And every now and then, I'm finding a plant tag, and I'm like, I haven't planted that in a decade.
What did I throw in here?
Where did that come from?
But it's good stuff, isn't it, by the time you get to that bottom.
Oh, man, yeah.
If you can just leave it alone for a while, it does a great job for you.
My two little raised beds are looking amazing in just a week or two.
Well, and that's the best part about spring. That's really the because we know what we can do. We get to see it, and we get to jump up and enjoy it. I'm exhausted hearing from this. This says, I planted about 5,000 sunflowers in my wife's sun garden about a week ago. Should be seeing sprouts soon. Yeah, well, I hope so. Goodness, great. That's good. I want the pictures. I want the video.
Well, you know, it's going to be cloudy, supposedly, the day of the eclipse. But so, he may have his own.
You may have something else entirely. That's wonderful. We were talking about the fact that all of this hype has gone into the eclipse, and at the same time, we realize that you can't depend on it unless you're in that airplane where they're going to fly up on top of it. You know?
I'd sign up.
If I had any sense, I probably would have, too. Oh, how beautiful. Andrea sent seed packs from Renee's garden. She has still got blue bachelor button or cornflower seeds. And if you hurry up, if it's a 60-day one and you put it in the ground right now or put it in your pot right now and don't let everything get too hot, you will probably have flowers. Mine that I planted in October are blooming right now and are spectacular. That's what I'm accustomed to.
They are stunning.
Thank you. It's one of my very favorite things because you literally don't – you think you've killed it.
Right.
And then it grows and blooms and is magnificent. So it's a great joy. But if you've got a quick 60 days, hurry up, is my point. And let's see. Oh, this is a good one. What kind of grass can I mix with zoysia? It's really not much you can mix with zoysia. It's going to be greener than centipede, which is kind of a similar texture. It's not going to grow the same as Bermuda or St. Augustine. If I had to patch up some spots, I'd probably go with carpet grass because it'll clump and it'll just fill that space, make it green. Won't be the same color, but it'll be closer than the others. And what about what type of dirt should I use to fix in the low spots in the lawn? A bag of topsoil is not actually topsoil, but yes, that would be okay. He's asking about topsoil. What you're trying to do is either with sand or with dirt, fill that space in, let a few weeks go by, and let the grass start growing back up through it. So if you can do that, yes, you can do that with the stuff they call topsoil in a bag, but it's not really topsoil.
I love it when people, I'm like, it says topsoil, but they're like, what? Read the label.
Yeah, it's really not. If it was, you understand topsoil is not here and it has been scraped off already. I mean, we don't live in a place in the United States where we haven't already farmed most of the topsoil.
Right.
There is topsoil in some very, very far out rural places, but if they brought it to you in a bag, you wouldn't be able to afford it.
Or pick it up.
Or pick it up. That's true, because it's really dense stuff. Very, very dense stuff. Oh, we look good on the TV. Look, that's really cool. Very cool. Oh, Laura from Flora. Good morning. Hello, Flora. Tell everybody at Two Dog Hay for me. And my cousins, too. Will ant poison hurt yarrow? The pot is full of ants. Thanks. Probably not. I don't think it would. You may want to run the ants out first. You know, just flush the pot real good with a lot of water and soapy water. Run them out.
They'll usually leave.
You know, they don't really like that.
Just keep about 10 feet between you and the pot while you're doing it.
Oh, yeah. Give them somewhere else to go.
Right.
I did know somebody that had planters by the street, and when they got ants in them, she would go out and pour hot water on the edges of the planters. And it was quite an eruption of ants. It was one of the, you know, I know I'd always rather see you use something like that rather than have to go in and put in a specific chemical poison because then you're stuck there. You know, there's not another step after that. She needed that. She needed
exactly.
There's a time and a place for everything. Got it. Thanks, Andy. You're welcome. Carpet grass is one of those things that we don't use very much. It will grow, though. If you're in Oxford or somewhere farther north and you know about fescue, it's better performing than fescue. Fescue is not a permanent solution to anything, but there are places where it grows and it's beautiful, gorgeous. You know, Missouri. Grows great in Missouri. But in our case down here for patching and stuff, carpet grass does a pretty good job, and it's not invasive. I don't want to tell people to start sowing, you know, alfalfa or something out there that's then going to turn around and seed and make more stuff, or even perennial rye. I would much rather something that's just going to make a little clump and fill up the dead spot.
Fill up the spot.
Be green.
In my experience, I've found that most people that have zoysia don't want anything but zoysia.
I'm that way. My only lawn grass patch is zoysia, and it's been in my front garden for a long time.
I noticed yesterday it was very green.
It's very green. It's my postage stamp. It's my air cleaner.
Your air cleaner.
Between me and the highway. And it does a really good job.
Well, thank you for your contribution.
That's right. I'm trying to help all that stuff. Oh, my goodness. We've been talking about shrub pruning and plants, and I love this notion. Trey, you're so funny. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story. Hang on. Trey has just sent us a picture of two folks a little slight amount more infirm than me and Peaches. And she's taking the walker and poking the holes, and he's dropping the bulbs in where she's made the
yes.
holes. Okay?
Absolutely.
It's a good one.
Whatever works.
40-plus years ago, I was way pregnant when it was time to plant Louisiana shallots in the fall, and the baby was coming in November, so it was a big deal, and I literally took a broom handle and walked 5 acres and poked and planted that way, and they were beautiful. They were the only thing that survived the freezes that winter. It was a rough year for the farm, but the whole notion that you got to poke that hole first was not lost on me because there was no bending over at that moment. Now the poor man that's having to follow the lady with the walker, I hope his back is strong because he's carrying a big bag of bulbs.
Big
there.
Bag of bulbs.
Exactly. But the Louisiana shallots are much smaller, so that was easier to do. Fun stuff, though. The things that we do, somebody asked me this week about horticulture therapy. I said, horticulture therapy is this right here. We talk about plants, we grow plants, and we go out and see more people that talk about plants and grow plants.
Exactly. You know? It's my therapy.
You know, it's therapy every day. But the good news is, I don't want to bug you about your work too much because it's not a work. This is a fun day.
Right.
But
thank you.
But Rivers Plant Farm has been one of my favorite places for 100 years, and the retail is spectacular. So if y'all have not been there,
it is.
He works in the wholesale. Can't go see him, but you can talk to him here about plants and about one thing and another because he knows, because he's the guy that makes sure that they're getting there. I love the story that you're loading your own truck kind of thing. You know,
yeah.
You know, it's like there's
quite a few stories.
These are people that do everything. And growers are, when I first met Peaches, he was a grower. And y'all don't know, this is Mark Patrick. You probably recognize his voice anyway. But that's really the place that our minds met, because there's nothing more fun to me than trying to see whether or not something can grow.
Yeah.
And lucky for me, you're out there in the pro world doing it, so I get to bug you and talk to you about it.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. And, you know, I don't think the average person understands what goes into that $3.99
mm-hmm.
annual in a pot.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea.
I heard people just the other day somewhere, and I don't even remember where I was, well, that thing's $5. And I thought to myself, yeah. Have you eaten a fast food meal recently?
Right,
I mean, you know,
right.
This isn't very much money these
yeah.
days. And in fact, if you think about the fact that you're supporting a local grower, you're supporting a local farmer, you're supporting your own community, the tax dollars in turn are going right into your world here. You know, that's a whole... That's part of your life. That's why we get up and go to work in the morning so we can do these things, you know?
You know, I'd much rather spend $5 on a flower than on a, I don't know, it could be
almost
much worse.
Almost anything else.
Well, food. It's, you know.
Well, but there are so many, we have so many options.
Right.
What we're going to see today is everything from the produce that we get a chance to enjoy and have a bite of, all the way to the things that somebody seeded 6 weeks ago. I mean, you know, we're going to get to
right.
see the whole gamut here, and that's really fun. I wanted to say another word about ant poisons. When you go, if you go like, just go to Walmart. This is a big box, anybody.
Yeah.
There's a range of things. And this is where I'm going to tell you that you got to read the label. And now you're going to get mad and turn the radio off. Please don't do that. But you do. You have to be aware that if you didn't like the smell of the last fire ant poison you got, it was acephate. So look at it. Look at the name and buy something else, because they all work about the same on a small fire ant problem, okay, or even a fairly large one. But if you're looking at bottles as opposed to, like, bags or something you have to put out with a tractor or an airplane, we're not going to do that anymore. But if you, if you will look, that's the one you didn't like the smell of. I can guarantee you.
I have a childhood analogy of that, and you know that everybody, all of radio stations, what's the worst smell that you like?
Oh, dear.
Acephate smells like sauerkraut to me.
Oh, my goodness.
And as a child,
that was great.
My grandfather had a cabinet in the basement, the canning basement, because he had cattle. And when you would go in the basement, he would open that cabinet up to get whatever out, you know, vaccines or whatever, and the whole basement would smell like sauerkraut.
And that's what acephate smells like to you.
Yeah, sauerkraut.
Not me.
Yeah.
Acephate reminds me of malathion that I had to spray twice a week in the greenhouse when I first started work.
It's the worst.
And it all makes my ears hurt.
Yeah.
it's not something I like to smell. But on the other hand, I do like Booker T and the MGs. Time is tight, and we'll be right back.
Sammy the Shovel here for Mississippi 811, reminding you that April is National Safe Digging Month. The leading cause of harm in residential areas is underground utility damage. And while pipeline operators and other underground utility companies are committed to raising awareness of underground damage prevention, homeowners have a responsibility to ensure safe digging practices too. Mississippi 811 reminds you to call 811 at least 3 working days before any dig to ensure your DIY project is done safely. Listen to Sammy. You dig?
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive.
We'll do that. Have I known you since you were 10? I think I have. Garden Mama here, along with Mark Patrick, our friend Peaches, and of course Lance is here keeping all of this mayhem running smoothly this morning. Appreciate all of that. All right, I finally got my thoughts together about the climbing red rose. From the last hour, we had a question about that. I was thinking of Don Juan, and somebody did weigh in and say, what about Blaze? Blaze is another one. But I tell you what, Antique Rose Emporium is always my go-to for, along with the David Austin site, for roses I hadn't heard of that somebody probably wants to grow. And Quicksilver is one that everybody is liking a lot, because it seems to have better, I don't know, fewer black spots, more flowers, all the things that we're looking for, yeah. You know. I drove by two knockout roses yesterday that are going to be climbers if they don't hurry up and start pruning them, because they're big, but they were so pretty. And so, I mean, I can see why they let them go, because yeah. They're just gigantic, but they're about as big as the table we're at, you know, and with covered up in flowers.
They will if you don't stay after them.
If you, and ultimately, of course, everything falls off the bottom of them, and it looks like you got a little tree there, and you don't,
right.
Which is why you need to prune them fairly regularly. Not all the time, but at least trim off the old flowers after they bloom. At least do that much. Oh, my goodness. I want to talk to you today, Mark, about what this weird thing is that I'm looking at. So what is this weird thing that I'm looking at?
Well, I had to bring it, you know. That is my favorite peach lip balm.
Ah, it's peach,
you know,
peach.
We're going to be in the sun.
You are, you are. And speaking of that, I brought my hat because we're going to be in the sun. So think about
Absolutely.
This, y'all. I have said for a long time, I've never created the product, probably should have, that the scent of summer in the South is actually a combination of lip balm, insect repellent, you know, and some sort of deodorant so that you don't smell like yourself too much, you know. But there's so many things we just don't even think about between, you know, the Benadryl spray on the ant bite and everything else that everybody carries around with them. We have an entirely different summer smell than we do in the winter. And I'm pretty sure that peachy lip balm is part of that one.
There you go.
I like it. I like it.
There you go.
That's fun. What are we going to do today? We're going to talk about containers. You plant better containers than anybody I know, and that's not. I'm not playing here. I'm telling y'all. Tell me if I'm standing next to you and we're going to plant a container like we are today. What are we doing? How do you make those choices? There's so many nice plants.
You know, there's so many recipes out there, you know, spiky, roundy, trauma,
one
thriller,
that goes up,
filler.
One that goes out, one that falls down. All that, I get all that.
Yeah.
But
I try to tell people.
Yours are more interesting than that.
Well, just walk through the garden center. If you see it and you like it, grab it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't overthink it. And always get one or two more than will fit.
Well, that is a good idea.
Yeah.
Landscapers will intentionally overplant because otherwise the customer is not happy when they see the space. If you tell me this is going to grow in 5 years, you know.
But then on the flip side, there's the problem if you overplant by the end of July, you can't
you
keep it
watered. You need to replant. You have to undo some stuff. You know? Somewhere in there, there's a balance.
It's the pollen, everybody. There's, you know, a fine line between instant beauty and longevity.
Do you like to put perennials with annuals?
I do.
In that setting? Because the perennials may come on a little bit later.
And in different cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm doing a large container, I always put an evergreen or, you know, something permanent in that pot.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes time to redo the pot, you don't redo the whole pot.
Well, and when those annuals are gone, too, there came a point where I realized when I looked out my window into the courtyard in the wintertime, it sort of looked naked.
It's kind of sad.
Because the pots were attractive, and I liked the lines and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, I needed that dwarf Sasanqua in the container. I needed that blue fescue grass, you know, something else to keep it a little bit more interesting.
And I'm going to, you know, today what I'm going to pot up is going to be all about shock and awe.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I mean.
And that is the thing. Why go to all this trouble if it's not going to tickle the people that see it?
Right.
I do think that there's a difference between the front yard pot and the backyard pot in the same way that there's a difference between what you do in that front bed. In the one that everybody's going to drive by and see, whether it's a container or whether it's the garden bed, I want it to kind of look okay most all the time.
The one
in the backyard, if it wilts and I water it, it's fine, you know. It's different.
I don't want to use the word. Yeah, sure I will. I'm kind of a container snob.
I know you are.
I like mine to be
a
little over the top.
Yep. Well, and the one container, he did not look down his nose at me. But a number of years ago, Mark was kind enough to give me a beautiful pot, and it had beautiful plants in it, all of which, of course, have gone the way of nature. And it now grows parsley. And it grows the best parsley that I have because it's really attractive. It's a big, beautiful pot full of parsley. Well, why did I do that? I don't know. I guess because I wanted to be able to look at that container all year long.
Right.
And the parsley does stay.
It's green.
You know,
it's beautiful.
It's very green. It's been very tasty this year, too. But it's just funny how we don't. If you put a little investment into the container, you're going to keep it and do stuff with
it.
You know, it's for true. And I'm living proof of that. Even though, I mean, I have 200 pots in my backyard that I don't use.
Right.
You know, that are from some other project that got left there. But there's always that one or two or ten that you really like and you want to plant them. What's the wrong thing to do when you come to a container garden, besides overstuff it so that you can't get enough water into it? But what's the biggest mistake people make?
That's a good question. Probably one of the biggest mistakes they make is not putting an evergreen or something permanent in it.
Ah, exactly.
Yeah, because...
Because then one day it's just not there.
Well, you know. In September.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, everything's looking bad. Well, there's a baby shower or there's a birthday party and they want to fluff it up. Well, in September, there's not much you can do but yank it all out and stick a mom
start
in
over
it.
Again. Yeah, there's not a lot there.
And there are
but
people out
got,
there that
if,
don't
if,
like
if
moms.
If you've got a multicolored Nandina or you've got a nice little evergreen sitting in there, you know.
One of my favorites, and I hate to even say it out loud because it can be kind of hard to find, is lemon cypress.
Oh, I like lemon cypress, too. It's pretty. I don't like yellow plants for the most part, but I love lemon cypress. I think it's real pretty.
And a red yucca, one
red
of my yucca's favorites.
A good choice.
It's a good start because it looks like a giant grass.
And it's there all the time.
And mine is covered with flower stalks.
Oh, nice. Nice,
I'm
nice.
Excited.
Well, grasses are important, I think, and people don't think to put them into containers. And sometimes I believe that's because they do get big. But the good news is that in a couple of years, you got three or four, you can make more pots, or you can give them away or take them to a plant swap or something.
I'm about to relocate some juncus this weekend.
It'll grow now.
It has taken over a couple of pots.
Well, and the cool thing about juncus is that it will go in one direction.
Right.
You know, and I love that. I love that it's not, because some things you put them into a container, and even if they spill, they go up on the other plants and then spill, as opposed to just falling out
Junkus
the edge.
Junkus just does this.
And literally, Junkus goes up and over, and that's all that it's going to, I think it's a lovely plant. If you haven't run into it, check it out when you get somewhere.
Yeah, it's a fun
one. What do we need to bloom? What kind of flowers? Something to bloom a few times? Something to bloom every day? Big flower? Little flower? What do you like?
Well, you know me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of that bold, you know, gaudy,
bigger
tropical.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I usually like to put a flower in there that I'd call a statement flower.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Hibiscus or something.
Hibiscus. Mm-hmm. You know, early spring, it could be a geranium.
Mm-hmm.
Cassandra.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then I usually try to find something that's kind of delicate, you know. Different foliage.
A little contrast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think those are important tips. People don't necessarily... think about it. When we buy a container, we might think, well, they all need to be succulents so they can grow together. But that's really not true.
That's
it's
really
not the only
true.
Consideration. But that's what, if you walk through a garden center, you see succulents in one pot all together. And then you go in the other place and you see all annuals in one pot all together. Well, I'm a person who tends to grow one plant in one pot. And so this whole mixed container thing, as somebody who learned to grow in a greenhouse where it's one pot, you know, per square foot or whatever it was, it has been a learning curve. And I know what I don't like more than I know what I like. So I appreciate being able to ask you. It's fun. Oh, here's a great question. I love this description. Paula says, my boyfriend's mom has a snowball tree that blooms the size of cereal bowls. How do I propagate this?
Well,
good idea. A couple of things. I'm going to say wait for the new growth and have a semi-hardwood cutting. I think that's going to root fine. But you could probably do hardwood cuttings on that viburnum, too, that snowball.
I would think it would be very similar to rooting a rose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Let the new growth come on. Let it get a little bit less than greeny tender. You don't want to be able to wrap that end around your finger, but you don't want it to snap off either.
Right.
So somewhere in between there is the point where it will root. Probably the leaves are going to be big. I always tell you, if you're going to root something that has big leaves on it, cut off half the leaf, not half of the leaves, but half of each leaf.
Right.
You know, take your scissors and reduce that transpiration surface so that you can actually, the plant can actually manage to root before it keels over from trying to respire. It's kind of like us, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Stay hydrated.
My favorite rooting technique is layering, though.
I do love layering.
I just, you know.
If she's got branches down close to the ground on this thing, that's a great way to go.
Yeah.
I layered a fig, and actually that's all that's left of it is the layer.
The layer.
So, yeah. That's why it's leaning
like
over this
it's
way.
It's like a little bit of insurance, you know.
It is. And if you haven't ever done this, y'all, if the branch is close enough to ground to touch the ground, you don't want to break it, but if it's down to the ground, dig a little trench, put that branch in there and then put a little dirt over it, but you're going to also have to put something on there to weigh it, like a brick. You know, some kind of thing to weigh it down a little bit. 6 months from now, you probably have another plant.
Or a concrete chicken, flamingo.
Yeah, you can decorate.
An elf,
you can absolutely decorate.
It's like a little memorial.
Put the gnomes out there.
There you go.
Let them stand up. Oh, my goodness. This backyard that we're creating this morning is quite something. quite something. I was reading this week about how important it is to healthy aging to keep your ability to see mental images in front of you when you know if somebody's talking to you, to be able to paint that picture. And I realized that absolutely radio depends on that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we do have TV now, but we still describe, because a lot of people are not watching the television broadcast of this, and also because it's our habit. In radio, we paint pictures. It's the theater of the mind. That's why we're here. I could be, 5'2" and blonde headed and sing like Shirley Temple if I want to be.
Right.
But only on the radio.
I'm 6'3" also.
See, only on the radio can we do that, Oh, that'll be great. I look forward to seeing that picture. Thank you, Paula. I do love Snowball. It's one of the very controversial shrubs because there's always two plants called Snowball, but if you grow the wrong one, you're not happy about it.
Right.
And if you don't grow the one with six names, then you think you haven't gotten the right one. And somewhere in between those two, like rooting the one from your boyfriend's mama,
is the smart way to go,
yeah. I think, to get that particular one. You could go and buy the same plant, and it might not have the same performance.
Yeah.
I guess is what I'm saying.
There's Chinese, Japanese, there's...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's a PG hydrangea that puts on those same kind of flowers at about the same time. And that really doesn't do well as a tree. I mean, it's a climbing plant, but people will... You'll see the flower on it and pick it up and think that you're getting what you thought you were getting, but you don't.
You don't.
It's another case. Read the labels. I know, they don't all have labels. No. Speaking of that, I'm going to get mad.
Uh-oh.
I know how much time y'all spend on actual labels.
Yes.
Plants from rivers have the names on them. Okay. I went somewhere, and it was not a local place. It was a, big box thing. And I really wasn't looking for anything, but a lady asked me a question about a plant, and so I looked down at the tag so that I could see which one it was.
And it was the wrong tag?
Well, it wasn't. It was so generic that you could have been growing a broomstick.
Right.
There was no name except for... sun, I think, or tropical or something.
Tropical houseplant.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Really? Interesting. But, and that doesn't help. It's a lot of, it's a lot of verbiage to pay for to not get any information from it.
I have a lot of opinions about plant labeling.
Me too.
A lot.
Me too. The worst part of it is, like you were talking about, finding the labels in the bottom of the compost. I'm terrible about not keeping the labels. I'll mark seeds, but 5 years after I plant a shrub or something, I'm going to know what it is, but I'm probably not going to remember its full name because I didn't write it down.
I kind of always keep one. And there's a particular reblooming azalea out there.
Okay, which one?
Encore.
Oh, yeah, I love Encore.
And if you plant Encores, you better keep your label.
Well, that's true, because there's dozens.
There's so many colors.
Yeah, there's dozens introduced every year.
And all their names start with the word autumn.
Exactly. Thank you, buddy. We love you. Stick around and have a little bluebird with us. We'll be right back.
Beautiful Mississippi. Help keep our Mississippi waterways clean and beautiful. Trash travels. Did you know that trash on our roads often ends up in our streams, rivers, and beaches? This affects the water we drink, beaches we play on, and fish we catch. Boating is fun. What you take out on the water, please bring back and dispose properly. For more info on how to keep our waterways beautiful, visit keepmississippibeautiful.com. Be beautiful, Mississippi.
Up before the dawn and home long after the sun sets. We pass this farm work ethic on to our children, too. They have their chores just like yours, but we also raise animals. Taking care of these animals helps them understand just how important what we do on this farm is for their future and Mississippi's.
Another way Mississippi farmers grow what's important to your life, the farm families of Mississippi.
Yes, indeed, I do. And perfect timing. Gene wants to know, where is Floydine's Flower Farm in Carthage? And so I'm fixing to tell you. It is.
Yeah, tell me, too.
It is at 1577 Highway 35 South. Okay.
Okay.
There it is. The directions are a lot more complicated.
Let's hope that truck's smart enough to get us there.
I think that truck's smarter than both of us, so it probably will.
I'm pretty sure it is.
It probably will. Let's see. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you very much. Now, you're so sweet telling me that I'm responsible for your beautiful plants. Shaq Bully, I appreciate you down in Biloxi.
Aww.
Knockouts and Louisiana iris and Easter lilies. Yep, it's all pretty. Amaryllis, that's really pretty. Louisianas are beautiful. You got you have the beautiful big old red. It's just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous amaryllis. Pretty, pretty, pretty.
I'm going to say something kind of mushy. Well,
okay.
when we do this plant thing, this flower thing,
yes,
as a profession.
Yes.
And there's nothing more satisfying than having a customer come up and say, "Look at this picture."
Oh, how fun. Isn't that marvelous?
You did this.
It's really a treat.
Yeah.
And thank goodness I didn't actually have to do it because it's a lot of work. But if I can talk to you and make you feel better about doing
right.
it, then in turn we can all experience the joy. You know, the seed comes up, we're applauding. And that's what life's all about, are the joys that we get from the things that we do and the people that we do them with.
That's why my social media is littered with flower, dog, and occasional food photos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when I get home at night after working seriously hard all day,
it's got to be a little bit fun.
I wind down with, you know, the rugrats and whatever happens to be blooming. It's kind of what I do.
He's talking about his dog.
I'm talking about my dogs.
He's not actually. He is a cartoon guy, but he doesn't actually wear them. Carry them around. That Louisiana iris that is now at supertalk.tv is worth your time.
Yes.
It's a beauty. That purple is one of my very favorite colors that you don't see in a lot of flowers. It's like the cornflower blue, the things that are really jewel-toned. Those are not the summer colors, you know. They'll fade out in a hurry in the summertime, but in the spring we get a chance to see all of those.
Wait till you see the inside of my truck.
Oh, I can't wait. That's going to be fun. That's really going to be fun. Thank you, Paula. I learn all sorts of things from you, too. I appreciate that very, very much. One of the one of the questions lately has been about fire ants and what to do and where they are and how to get rid of them and all of these other bits and pieces of things. And frankly, I have to tell you that last year was their dream come true.
Oh my gosh.
It was super, super hot in the summer, super, super dry in the fall, and now there's rain.
Yep.
So I don't care how many times you have treated for them, you're going to find some more in your garden. You can do the Texas two-step with them, as the folks at A&M describe it, or you can just go out. You can chase the mounds around, but if you've got more than one mound on your property, you are going to be better off to treat the property and then treat that individual mound so that when they flee the mound, they go out, they get the bait, and they're still done in. And I don't like to talk about death that much, but when it comes to fire ants, they itch and they hurt and they tear things, and they will actually hurt small animals and small children in serious ways.
You know, I was in my mid-20s before I ever knew what a fire ant was, because we didn't have them in Missouri.
Yeah, they hadn't made their way up there yet.
And
coming out of Mobile and moving farther north every year.
The horrible stories I've been told by native Mississippians,
yes,
about leading their little brothers into fire ant mounds,
terrible,
playing hide and seek. I'm like,
yeah,
you people
terrible
are mean.
Yeah, yeah. But unfortunately, we also got bombarded in the South with a couple of products that they thought were going to, quote unquote, eradicate the fire ants. There is no such thing as eradication of insects, by the way. But anyway, that was so much more serious. We really do have, it's not directly related to Rachel Carson, but we do have her to thank for making us all aware that blanket putting out of that kind of stuff, we realize it might take care of the pest, but it's going to do an awful lot of other larger damage. And those are the kind of things, if you think about why we're having to rebuild the pollinator populations now, it is in part because we developed so much of the area where they would ordinarily have found plants to feed on, but it's also because we've killed a whole lot of insects.
Right.
And most of the pollinators are insects. Right. So we have not necessarily always understood the balance that we were trying to create.
Yeah, and that's another thing that comes along with spring, the bugs on your windshield.
Yeah.
Pollen. That's the one thing I think I do like about winter.
The yellow cover.
There's
of
no
everything.
Bugs.
This is really when all of the folks at in the car wash business look forward to the pollen fall.
Well, yeah, and winter is so quiet too. You don't have the insects and the birds
you're
and everything.
Right.
And it's
you're
just
right.
So quiet. You may have an owl, but that's
played,
about all you're going to get.
Played into my hands.
Yeah.
We're going to get through the final fours.
I have an
We're
owl.
We're going to get across this particular thing of the eclipse. And I don't know how to tell y'all this, but after that, it's cicadas all the way to May. it's going to be loud, y'all.
I'm going to wear these.
You're walking around with earphones, headphones.
Noise-canceling headphones in the backyard.
Or you can just start, like, headbanging and jamming out to them and just kind of go with the flow.
You going
to
set that GoPro up so we can watch you?
Wow.
That'd be great.
He talks about me like he knows me.
That's right. See? Well, these Brandon men, I don't know how to tell
you. Well, he was nice enough not to give me the corn cob jelly.
No, that was good. That was good. That was an excellent choice. I will tell you that. My goodness. This has been such a fun day today. I know that everybody is having the same kinds of joyful gardening that we are doing. Because guess what? We have to get it while we can. There's people. I have correspondence from people that are in the middle of that snowstorm. On the northeast coast, and they're like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, I'm not doing that. I'm doing this."
I have a distant cousin that lives below, Tahoe and all that.
Oh,
and she's like,
"No, they haven't.
You should see the mountains.
They have not seen anything but snow.
Yeah, it's
parts of those areas have been incredible. Now it's good for their drought problems from the previous time,
of course,
but it really doesn't." All get back absorbed. It's really tough
stuff.
Yeah,
there's nothing like a 3 feet of snow on Easter Sunday.
Wow. None for me, thanks.
Yeah.
None for me, thanks. Marshall has added about 16 more rabbit manure production units. They're adorable. They're so cute. Oh, my goodness. He's got 50 rabbits now.
I'm all about a bunny.
And yes, they do, as he says. Had a wise old man tell me that instant grits will kill fire ants overnight. Is there any chance this might be true? No. Sadly not. We have seen people with machines to inject grits into your fire ant mounds. They don't work. They go home and laugh at you.
Yeah.
Or do the bourbon thing like the Twinkie. Pour a shot of bourbon down there and see what happens.
See what happens.
I'm going to have to give you my Twinkie pie recipe.
Oh, my goodness.
You better.
Oh, it's good. It's good.
What do you do with all that? I don't know. I don't think we can do that one. That's tough. Sue, these are beautiful. Oh, my goodness. This is azaleas and English dogwood in Brandon. See, that's why y'all
like I'm like Ray and Clinton. I like all the racket the cicadas present us.
I'm with him. I like it, too.
I love
too.
That stuff.
The most fun, there was a lot of things fun about the Clinton Community Nature Center, where I believe they're having Nature Day today, in fact. But it is it's a place that is so wooded that you can't hear on the phone when the cicadas are outside and all the doors and windows are closed. And get ready, y'all. It's coming. I'm telling you. It's going to be just like they're all in your backyard because they're going to all be in your backyard. Hey, we're going to be in your backyard here in a minute. If you are in Pearl, if you are at Doris Berry's Farmers Market, if you are at Floydine's Flower Farm in Carthage, you'll see us today. We look forward to it. Thank you, Mark. Thanks, Lance.
You're welcome.
See y'all next week.
Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR, benefits, and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
If someone you know is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
Gallo here for
a Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.